Okay. So previously on Cheer, we were discussing the question of, right, Mowage, and is it a dweem, or is it a dweem within a dweem, and what are the hagdaros thereof? And one of like the main points that really came out is, A, there are a lot of different elements in marriage, right? We see that there's really a whole slew of components that go into marriage, both in terms of the question of why do people get married, but also probably, right, these are going to be reflected in what marriage is, right, as a social construct, as a halachic construct as well. Number two is we saw that there are really two parts of marriage in halacha. There's erusin and nisuin. And what was really interesting, what really jumped out, is that when we talk about marriage in sort of like a, you know, off-the-hand legal sense, we're generally really talking about erusin, right? That's the, oh, you got married, legally speaking. But then in terms of the practical sense, in terms of the actual, right, trappings of marriage and all the different components that we talked about at the beginning of Shir on Sunday, we really see that we're dealing with nisuin, right? So the marriage in practice, right, the content of marriage all seems to be in nisuin. And then the question becomes, so what is erusin and what is its point? Okay, and thus to answer that, we're going to look at mitzvah kiddushin or mitzvah ishus. Is there a mitzvah? And what role does then erusin play in the mitzvah of getting married, assuming there is such a mitzvah? And how can we then explain like the purpose of erusin? Yeah, Tila.
First of all, hi. Nice to see you.
Welcome back.
Second of all, maybe we're going to get further into it, I guess, if we're talking about the mitzvah of kiddushin. But I think you called erusin the legal definition, like a legal component of marriage. And given the problem that we identified last time in terms of at the point of erusin, she's also usher to him. I don't understand how that can be an indicator of her relationship, of their relationship. It seems much more of a her being usher to everyone else so that she can then be mutar to him.
Okay, so right. I wouldn't say it's like, that's the whole legal content, independent, right? There's no future legal repercussions, right? Nisuin is legally very, very relevant. There are tons of dinim that are talui on nisuin, absolutely. You're right, that's not really perfectly accurate. What I mean to say when I say that is it's sort of like the, you know, it's like the paperwork stage as opposed to the, you know, actually being married in practice. I guess in like in America, right, you file the paperwork with the judge, right? And then you also actually have like, you have a wedding and you have a rabbi. And you know, if you're like an American lawyer, you'd be like, oh, well, you know, like, I don't know, certain things are only applicable once they actually practically get married, even though they actually already filed the paperwork. Interesting question is like, I don't know, what about the engagement ring? It's an interesting question. Like, if they break off the marriage, who gets the engagement ring? Does she have to give it back? Is it a conditional gift? Is it like a semi-conditional gift? Is it an absolutely conditional gift? Right. And every state has its own Supreme Court decision on whether or not it goes back. It's very interesting. But the question is also then, okay, great. So let's say you are in a state that says that she only gets to keep the engagement ring if they actually got married because it was a conditional gift, right? The point gives the engagement ring basically like, you know, as a matana on the assumption that they're getting married. If they don't get married in the end, then he has to give it back, right? Let's say they file the paperwork with the judge, right? But then right before they have the whole ceremony, right, that, you know, all breaks apart. And, you know, it turns out that he's, you know, he's really like 50 years older than he said he was. She never noticed, but he's very youthful looking, right? And then like the whole thing, like, you know, falls apart, right? He said he was 30. Turns out he's really like, you know, 62. And the whole thing goes. So would we say, oh, well, you know, they got married, legally speaking. Or do we say, no, of course, they didn't get married, right? They, you know, the rabbi, the priest never said man and wife, and you know, and that's it, you know, and she can run away with Wesley, like, you know, in the next scene, right? So, or you could say no, right? If I'm a lawyer, I'd say, look, they signed the paperwork, legally they're married, and that's what's kovea, right? So we're saying, like, in terms of the legalities, we would be noted towards saying, oh, you know, they're gonna have to file joint you know, their taxes jointly once they filed the paperwork. In terms of, right, the, you know, the reality of, do they function as a married couple? Are they, you know, really practically completely married? Are they one bias? Are they, you know, going to, let's say, financially be considered one unit, things like that, right? That's the, is there a heterbia? That's all dependent on a suin. So, right, so it's not only legally, but I'm saying it's more of like a formalistic, you know, the paperwork stage as opposed to the reality of marriage, right? Obviously, what Thiel is pointing out also is that who says that it's just, you know, it's like one or the other, right? You could have, it starts at the beginning of a process and then, right, there's the continuation of the process. So she's saying in terms of legally, right, you're starting the process legally now, but there's obviously a lot more legally that's happening by Nisuin. Also true the other way, right? Maybe some of the practical content of marriage is already, this is the beginning of marriage, but it's a two-stage process, right? Maybe you have to do both, okay? Definitely, we're definitely gonna address that.
I think it's also just more of an intuitive issue of how can you call a point marriage if at that point they are usser to each other.
Right, exactly. So what we really say is that erisins is not marriage. The problem with saying that, and you're right, that's really, so okay, just it's not marriage and it's like some preparatory stage. The problem is, she's an ishesesh l'chol davar, right? And, you know, if she needs a get and, you know, they can't just walk away, and there's a chiv, you know, chiv misa, because midin ishesesh and arayos, he, you know, and she are usher to each other's relatives as arayos, right, forever, even if they get divorced after Erusin. So on some level, right, they're totally as if they're married and like, oh, just technically they're, you know, they're oster to each other, maybe even derabanan. On the other hand, right, how can you say they're married if they're little, they're not allowed to have yichud and they're, you know, live together and they're not allowed to be together. So then how are they married? Exactly. I think that's very much really just the question that we want to know. Right. And if so, and okay, we're going to say, yeah, you're right. In a chanami, Erisin is they're married, but they're just totally aser. Like, why would you do that, right? How would that make sense in marriage to say, oh, they're married, but they are not allowed to live together and they're not allowed to be together, and you know, but they have all like the onshin, and they actually maybe, right? We saw in the Shittim Kubetzes that he says b'shem the ra'ah and the rajba. The ra'ah is the like the other rebbe of the Ritva. Everyone knows that the Ritva is the Talmud of the Rajba, but he's also Talmud of the Ra'ah. The Rajba and the Ra'ah were both like, you know, big Zolim. The Rajba put out a sefer, the Torah Habayis, right, where he like goes through a Sebeheter and he, you know, a lot of, like it was like the Shulchan Aruch of its time. The Ra'ah put out the Bedek Habayis, where he like bashes everything the Rajba says in his, you know, in his sefer. And then the Rajba puts out a Mishmeres Habayis, where he like anonymously defends himself against the Ra'ah. So the Ritva was a Talmud of both of them. Okay, it's very gishmak. That's one of the things that makes like the Ritva extra gishmak is that he has like these two Rebbeim who are like just very, very different from each other. But the Shittim Kubetzes brings down b'shem the Rajba and the Ra'ah that the Isser after Erisin to the husband is Doraisa, right? So actually by getting married, by doing Erisin, right? She's Usher as an Ishesh to everyone, but she's also Usher as an Ishesh to her husband, okay? So what's going on? Why would that make sense? So to do that, let's look into the mitzvah of Kiddushin, right? What is the mitzvah? Is there a mitzvah? What are we trying to do? And what is the relationship then between Erisin and Nisuin? So the first problem, I guess, is the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Ki yikach ish isha ubala, v'hayam lamotim tzachim be'enav, ki matzvah arastav, v'chule, right? Ki yikach can be interpreted, right, in two ways. There's like, you know, the famous Rashi that shows up a lot in the Torah. Right, ki is mishamish, you know, arba lashonos, e dilma ella daha. Right, ki could mean a lot of different things, and for our purposes, ki could mean when, right? You must do this, and when you do it, you know, X Y Z. These are the dinim, right? Just like we say im kesef tal vasami, it's not if you lend, right? As like, oh, if you happen to be, you know, a nice person and lend, you're chayiv to lend money to people, right? It's when you lend money, right? Here are the dinim, right? If you, you're not chayv, let's say, to see somebody have their donkey, you know, unable to stand because of the load, right? In general, it'd be nice if people didn't overload their donkeys, right? But if that happens, then, right? Ki tir echa mor sonacha harei ki mishamesh b'lashon dilma. If it happens, then you got to do this, right? But there's no obligation to be in that circumstance. So what's true? What is that about about kiddushin, right? Is getting married is kiddushin, is ki yikach ish isha achiyuv, right? When you know, you're going to do this, here's how you got to do, or here are the dinim that apply, or is it, if you want to do this, here are the dinim, okay? Now, from the Gemara, we actually get very conflicting reports, right? I put a lot of different Gemaras on the Daf Makaros. We're only going to really go through a couple of them, but the Gemara really gives us very, very mixed message. On the one hand, the Mishnah says, Ha'ish mekadesh ba'o b'shlucha, right? Ha'ish mekadesh is ba'o b'shlucha. This is the beginning of the second parak. Ha'ish mekadesh is bito kishihi nara, ba'o b'shlucha. Says the Gemara, Hashta b'shlucha mekadesh ba'o mi ba'ya, Amar Rav Yosef mitzvah ba'o yoser mi b'shlucha. Right? We already know, if we tell you that a person can be mekadesh with a shliach, right? If you can do something through an agent, then obviously you can do it yourself, right? You're only capable of authorizing an agent to perform something that you yourself could do, right? That's the whole idea of agency. So why do we need to tell you mekadesh bo b'shlucho? Because we want you to know that we actually prefer you to do it personally, right? Ideally, you should be doing it personally. If you can't do it personally, then, we'll allow you to do it with somebody else, or more than allow you, you're allowed, it's totally fine, but mitzvah bo yotzei mibishlucho, right? It's better to do a mitzvah yourself. Now, what does that imply, obviously? Mitzvah bo yotzei mibishlucho.
That there's some additional importance to do it personally, as opposed to just generally getting it out of the way. Like, there's some sort of extra, Judaism magic.
Right, okay, but what, for our topic, for our question, what can you be dyed there? But you're right, because you're already going straight to the chia, potentially. Yeah, Tehila.
I think it means that the participants involved in the process are important and not just the outcome.
Okay, these are all good. I want very, very boring. It's just like, I want the most boring, just like, you can just quote the word. That it uses.
It's your mitzvah, not his.
Okay, closer. It says it's a mitzvah, right? Meaning Zach saying, "Oh, it's like, there's like an extra Judaism magic," and Tehila saying, "Oh, right, there's a quality, to actually doing it yourself, being personally involved, right?" But all this is assuming, right, that it's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah that you're doing, right, and doing it personally is better, right? Either because, right, there's a personal quality to what's going on, right? Or because it's a mitzvah, and any mitzvah that you do, and you do it yourself, there's more Judaism magic to it, right? But all that assumes that there's a mitzvah going on, right? Now, what could we potentially do? Right, how could we be docha that? Yeah, Rachel.
It's like rishus. If you want, you can do it.
Okay, good, right? You can say one thing, it could be, right? If it's Judaism magic, or if it's, right, there's a quality to it, if you do it personally, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's something that you have to do, right? It could be that it has religious value. You're not chayiv to do it, but it's a rishus. You could say, right, that if we're talking about Judaism magic, then we can really, we can go crazy and say, oh, well, it's not really a mitzvah. It might not even be mitzvah rishus, but it has, it has positive qualities. And to be
a hitter. It's a hitter. It's like a hitter of some sort.
Yeah, it's good.
Better to be married in person.
Right, or like your marriage will be better in the end of the day, so you should do it personally, right? On the one hand, it does call it, it says mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho. On the other hand, right, especially if we see the concept of mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho as something slightly amorphous, the more that slightly amorphous concept can also apply to a more amorphous mitzvah. Potentially, right? If I say, it's like, you want to, not only do you want to be do X, Y, and Z mitzvos, but like you should give tzedakah, but you should give it with a smile, right? So I don't know, that might actually be part of gufa, part of the mitzvah tzedakah, right? But like I could say, because that gufa is part of the mitzvah tzedakah, right? Or I could say, if you want to be a good person and you want to be a good Oved Hashem, then even though it's not like technically in the Shulchan Aruch, like a sif katan of tzedakah to do with a smile, right? But if you do it with a smile, right, then you're going to be a better Oved Hashem and a better human being and, like, way better, right? But all that is potentially, right, within the fact that it's not technically a mitzvah, okay? So it does call it a mitzvah, but we could be doche, okay? The next Gemara is a little bit more straight out. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, you could write a Shtar Kiddushin on Yantif, but you can't do Nisuin. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, Mutar La'aris Isha B'chol Shomoid. You're allowed to get married, right, do Erisin, on Chol HaMoed, Shema Yikadmenu Acher, because we're worried that someone else will, you know, someone else will propose first, and therefore you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Okay, Lema Misayele, Ve'elu Kosun B'moed, Kiddushin Ashim, My Lav Shtar Kiddushin Mamish. Oh, right, this Mishnah says you're allowed to get engaged in Chol HaMoed, get married on Chol HaMoed, right? You'll have to do Kiddushin. Lo Shtar Psikta. No, that's actually just the engagement, not actually doing Kiddushin. Okay, there have Gidol Marav, Damar of Gidol Marav, come out and it's in the Bincha, Kach Vakach, come out and it's in the Bideh, Kach Vakach. Right, they write out what the dowry is going to be and what, you know, what the, forgot what the other, the counter dowry is. Amdu v'kitchu kanu. Hein hein dvarim haniknin v'amira. Okay, let me say it, right? Ein no sinash memoid. You can't get do nesuin on Yantif. Right, lo besulis v'lo amanos v'lo miyavmin. He says, the Gemara says, brings a braisa that says, you can't get do nesuin on Yantif. Why? Because there's simcha, right? You're getting married. Hala ares shari, but you are allowed to do erisin. Right, what does that imply, basically? Right, so first it says, oh, erisin, for some reason, right? Erisin's not, there's no simcha involved. The more we look at erisin as like the beginning of really getting married, the harder it is for us to really palate this, right? Because, I mean, you just, if it's a two-stage process, why isn't it joyful, right? It's not the whole 9 yards, but, you know, you could say it's like the first, you know, first 2 yards or, you know, however many yards, you know, it is that are part of a 9 yards. You still don't get a first down. 9 yards is very useless. I don't know why it's called the whole 9 yards. Shouldn't it be like the whole 10 yards? I guess. Oh, what's the chat? Yeah, Zach.
Maybe it's like putting down like an initial offer on a house. Like, you don't know the joy of having purchased a house yet, but you know you are sort of you financially committed to something, which doesn't have any simcha to it, but is significant legally.
Okay, good. Right. So one thing you can say is okay. Right. It's not really like, it's a two-stage process, but you're really getting there. It's formally significant, right? But it's not really marriage. It's really like a legal precursor. Okay. Halari slow. Halari shari. But you're allowed to do erisin. Lo mi baya kamar. He says, no. Maybe it's the opposite. Lo mi baya la'are stiloka avid mitzvah. Obviously, you can't do erisin because you're not doing a mitzvah. Ela filu lisa nami dika avid mitzvah asar. But maybe not only can you not do erisin where there's no mitzvah, right? You're not doing a mitzvah when you do erisin, but to get lisa dekavin mitzvah aser, right? So doing this suin is a mitzvah. You're getting married, right? Again, we're assuming that there's a mitzvah to get married. There's some sort of mitzvah. It makes a lot of sense to us, but we have to sharpen that. But la'aris erisin, there's no mitzvah. Okay. Okay. Right, that sounds pretty straightforward. Right, in which case, erisin is not a mitzvah, and nisuin is a mitzvah. So then, right, okay, but then, so what is erisin? So again, what Zach was saying is, yeah, it's this formal process. It's an important precursor to actually getting married. Legally, it's, you know, it takes in a very important role. But in terms of the actual mitzvah of getting married, it's a very, very, shuli part of the process, right? It's a peripheral issue. It's necessary. It's important. It's legally binding, right? But in terms of the actual ishus, it's not part of the mitzvah. Tashma, the tani de bishmuel ma'arsin of alo konsin. Hey, lemaisa, we have a braisa a maimer that ma'arsin of alo konsin, that you could do erisin on Chol HaMoed and you can't do nesuin. Because it's simcha, the enos and suras erisin v'lo miyavmin b'nei shesimcha yilo. Okay, the maskana of the Gemara is that it really depends on whether or not it's simcha. Okay? Erusin is not simcha. Nisuin is simcha. So you're allowed to do erusin, but not allowed to do nisuin. Okay? What's not clear is what do we hold at the end of the day, the gabe, the mitzvah. Yeah. Yeah.
Why would erusin be usher on chol hamoed? What's the havamina there?
Oh, because it's basically either because it's like, you know, it's distracts from chol hamoed. It's almost like doing malacha. It's it is some level of simcha, or you are going to write, you have to like write down the, let's say you're writing a shtar. Let's say you're doing mekadesh b'shtar, so you have to write, writing a chol hamoed is only, you know, it's only mutter when it's necessary. Things like that. Right? The Mishnah in particular happens to be dealing with writing for the purposes of Erusin, right? Or Kiddushin Hashem, right? Depending on how you touch that. And Shmuel is really talking mitzad simcha, right? That it's a distraction from the from Chol HaMoed, right? If it's Yom, let's say, I don't know, let's say it was Rosh Hashanah and you get married on Rosh Hashanah, so you're not focusing on Rosh Hashanah, you're focusing on the fact that you're getting married, right? Which is legitimate. If I was getting married on Rosh Hashanah, I would, right? I'm sure I would try to hear like Tekios, but I don't think I'd be very focused on anything else. Right? And we don't want that because you're supposed to go through Rosh Hashanah every year, even during Corona. It's Kav Chomer, no Corona, and your wedding day. So instead, you just shouldn't have your wedding day be on Rosh Hashanah, right? So the same thing by Chol HaMoed. Chol HaMoed is part of the Chag. So you shouldn't be doing, right, other things that are very distracting on it. That's a good question, right? Now, also what Yara is pointing out, which I think is helpful, is, you know, how strong of an impetus do we need in order to say that something is, let's say, enough of a mitzvah that it's doche, you know, lets you do it on Chol HaMoed. Or enough simcha, or not enough simcha, that you're, oh, there's not so much simcha, so you're allowed to do it on Chol HaMoed. Right? What's the level of the iser is very unclear, almost. So it makes it harder to understand what exactly do we need to overcome it, right? I think that's a very good point. And I think that also helps us with, okay, this Gemara says that La'aris is not a mitzvah, right? We said mitzvah bo yotzer mibishlucha. So I could say, well, he is doing a mitzvah, but it's not a bona fide mitzvah. Or I could say, oh, when we said Lisa, also the ka'avin mitzvah, maybe that's also not a mitzvah. But it says it's a mitzvah here, right? Well, maybe in order to overcome the problem of like doing distracting things with Chol HaMoed, it doesn't need to be the most overwhelming mitzvah, right? But it sounds like from our Gemara that mitzvah bo yotzer mibishlucha, and therefore it's a mitzvah. And it sounds from here, the La'aris is not a mitzvah. But Nisuin is. Okay. The next Gemara, the Gemara in Beitza, says, one second here. El mishum shot, lo danin v'daha mitzvah ka'avid, lo tzvicha d'ika da'dif minei, lo mekachin av ha-mitzvah ka'avid, lo tzvicha d'isha isha ubanim. Okay, these are things that you're not allowed to do because they're, you know, aser midrabanan anyantif, right? Ilhein mishim rishos lo danim v'lo mekachin v'lo choltzin v'lo miyabin v'lein mishim benitz v'lo mekachin v'lo makdishin v'lo marichin. Okay, so mekachin is bedivrei rishos. Wait a second, says the Gemara. Kiddushin is a mitzvah. Ha mitzvah ka'aved. Lo tzri chadis lay isha ubanim. Oh, he already has kids. Okay. Now, if I was asking you, if you were talking to me, right, and you said that, and I asked you that question, and you gave me that answer, right, I'll tell you, you just gave me, that was a non sequitur, right? Because I asked you, oh, this is a mitzvah. You said, oh, but I already have kids. And I would say, that's beautiful, right? Pshat Toiva, Mitzlachas, I'm very glad to hear. And, you know, and that's utterly irrelevant to, you know, to what we're talking about, right? So why is it relevant? What does it imply?
It implies that Kiddushin is a mitzvah if you haven't yet fulfilled Kiddushin / Peru Revu.
Oh, very good. Right, so the slash, I would switch it from a slash to a hyphen. Or not even a hyphen, but just like an arrow that says like, Kiddushin really is, you know, really Peru Revu, right? And when we talk about, and that's actually, in terms of answering all of what we've seen until now, it actually has like a beautiful elegance to it, because I can explain all the Gemaras now very simply, right? We're dealing with, right, Judaism magic to a certain level when we talk about mitzvah. And when we say mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho, We're not saying that Kiddushin is a mitzvah independently, right? Kiddushin is a mitzvah because it's part of Puravu, right? And therefore, you're doing something which is like a Heksher mitzvah. So maybe you get, right, you get points. I'm just going to change it, Zach's formulation to a point system. You get points even for doing the Heksher mitzvah personally, right? And when I told you that Erisin is not really a mitzvah, but Nisuin's a mitzvah, I said, oh, actually, neither, right? Really, Puravu is the mitzvah, but Nisuin is, right, is actually, right, something that leads to Puravu Mluas Aretz. Erisin does not. So, and Erisin actually still is a mitzvah, but maybe not enough to be Matar and Chol HaMoed, but yes enough for Mitzvah Bo Yosem V'Mishlucha. Right, so in theory, actually, what we should really do is determine what the criteria are of Mitzvah Bo Yosem V'Mishlucha. When do we say Mitzvah Bo Yosem V'Mishlucha? Right? And then we could say, oh, well, in order to qualify for Mitzvah Bo Yosem V'Mishlucha, does it have to be a real mitzvah? Or can it just be like a Heksher mitzvah? Or can it just be like a generally good idea? Right? Like, oh, it has generally positive valence, you know, in Judaism. And then the same thing by Chol HaMoed. How much do you need in order to overcome, right, the distracting from Chol HaMoed problem? Right? If we were dealing with Ase Do Chalos Ase, right? You want to be Mekadesh, but there's an Isser Lav that you need to violate. So we'd say, okay, there are rules about Ase Do Chalos Ase, right? You're not going to be over on Ase Do Chalos Ase if you stop dealing with a nice idea. Oh, it's nice to, like, you know, to smile, but like in order to smile, you'd have to like steal something from somebody else because, you know, because it would make you in a good mood, right? So obviously you say, like, you know, you're not allowed to violate Gezel, right, in order to make yourself in a good mood so that you could smile when you give tzedakah, right? Just so I can give the most bizarre possible example, right? That's obvious. But if it's a question of like, oh, you know, you could smile at this guy, but on the other hand, you're on the way to Minyan, and now you're going to be slightly late for Psuki de Zimra, right? So then I can say, oh, well, on the one hand, right, I want to be on time for davening. On the other hand, right, I should smile at him, right? There I can start saying, like, oh, well, yeah, you know, it's not so clear what, you know, how these two integrate with each other, okay? So now, according to Rashi here, the answer to all this is basically, lo mekachin ha-mitzvah kavit, shenosa isha lifros vilirbos, v'amaika kari le-rushas. He says, oh, the Havamina is never that there's a mitzvah. It's always, really, you're supposed to do Puravu. And Erisin and Nisuin are just a way, right, to get you to be able to have children, right, behet there. The Isla Yishu Banim, Shnei Zachar and the Beishamai, Zachar and the Kevah, the Beishalel, Vesula Mifkad Kulehai. He says, oh, wait a second, right? But even if you have two kids, there's still a value in having more, right? Kedamina B'Yavamos. But he's not lo mifkad kulehai, right? Then, right, having more kids and the shear of Zachar Nekeva is good. It's very important, right? It has a lot of religious value. But you're not mechuyev on the same level. And therefore, we would call it, once you have kids, it's, you know, it's a rishas. Or we'll call it a rishas, right? Zuchel was pointing out, like, you can have something which is a mitzvah, but it can still be a rishas, right? And that's still not as dachuf or as urgent. Sorry, I have no time, so I forget my English. It's not as urgent as it would be otherwise. Okay. Yes. Oh, you know, just, do you mind if I just give one more Gemara really quickly? Just the Gemara in Pesachim also has you know, same sort of problem. It says, oh, you know, sunat mitzvah. If you're on the way to burn, to go do a mitzvah, and then you realize you didn't like burn your chametz, so can you be mevatel the chametz without actually going back and burning it? So Gemara says, right, if you're going to a mitzvah, then you actually don't have to. What's the problem? Haholech lishkor es pischa v'lamolos b'nel, right, do bris milav, lechol suras erisin b'beis chamev, v'nitzka sheshto chametz v'ch beiso, am yachol lachzor levayar v'lachzor le'mitzvah so yachzor, v'im lav mevatlon b'libam. Wait a second, for a minute. Holech lechol sudas erisin, the beis chamin, v'lishva os, shvisas harashos, yachsu miyad. But if it's a rashos, and it's a sudas erisin, right, then it's not a mitzvah. So the Mishnah says it's a mitzvah, and we have a brisa that says that it's not a mitzvah. Am Rabbi Yochanan lo kasha, ha Rabbi Yehuda ha Rabbi Yosa, detanya, Rabbi sudas erisin rashos, the Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosa yomar mitzvah. Oh, right, there we go. Once it's a mitzvah, once it's a rashos. V'hashad amarav chizda machlukas besuda shniyah, Actually, the first, the erisin, the sudas erisin, right, is a mitzvah. The suda that they do sort of afterwards, in between, while they're waiting, between erisin and nisuin, that's not. Right? So first it sounded like the Umara said, oh, actually, there's a machlokas whether it's a mitzvah. Then it says, oh, kuli amalu pligi, it's a sudas mitzvah. The only question is whether or not the second one counts. Okay? Yeah. Tila, you had a question.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify, according to like Lashita and the Gemara and Besa and like Rashi on it, is Kiddushin itself a mitzvah? Because like once Kiddushin is linked to Puravu, does it then get the status of like some sort of mitzvah? Or do we only get to call Kiddushin a mitzvah specifically in a scenario where we can link it to Puravu and otherwise it's not?
According to Rashi, it's not really a mitzvah. It's like a hechsher mitzvah. And in the case where the people are still chayiv in Puravu, so then it's a hechsher mitzvah and right, it has a certain level of urgency. Right? And if they already were mekayim Puravu, so it's not that urgent.
So in a case where they're not already mekayim Puravu, I get that it's not urgent, but what do we call it? Is it still not a hechsher mitzvah? Is it like what is it?
If they haven't been, if they've already been mekayim Puravu, so then it's like a hechsher of a kiyam. Because there's the bear, right, the pasuk says, Lokazarasarecha, bear about Tanakh Yadecha, right? Then the Gemara says, oh, right, if you have kids, you still have more kids, because, you know, you never know. The Gemara says, like, you know, you never know who's going to be like, Masliach, who's good, who's going to survive, or, you know, take it in different ways. And we can say, like, you know, each one is their own person and their own value. But that's not a chiyuv, that's a value. So then this would be like a hechsher value, in which case it's like, you know, it's a reshus, or it's a kiyum, but kiddushin itself would then be like a hechsher kiyum. So that's already pretty, you know, that's, I guess it gets us towards the points, but not quite like hatzim mitzvah. And yeah, what you're suggesting though also, is that if we see kiddushin, puravu, as a mitzvah, but we see kiddushin as something connected to it, maybe, right? It's not just a hechsher mitzvah, not something that allows you and enables you to do a mitzvah, right? Maybe it's really a genuine part of the mitzvah, right? Maybe kiddushin, nisuin, puravu, right, is this one big continuum of a mitzvah, right? The other side of things, just like a teaser, that's exactly what the Mordechai says. So it's not what Rashi's saying, but that is a very good svara, and that's exactly what the Mordechai is going to say. The Mordechai says that kiddushin is a mitzvah, and the suin is a mitzvah. Right? You know, let's just skip ahead for a second, just because you already formulated it for him. Here, mikadesh amo yisrael de chupa v'kiddushin mishum dizim the mikadesh b'shatz berachas
and suin. Brother Victor, I don't think we could hear your screen.
Oh. You're right. I did not. I switched it, but I did not actually share it. Here you go. Mekadesh Amo Yisrael de Chupa v'Kiddushin. Mishum dezimni mekadesh b'shas berchas ha-nesuin. V'yaz hachnas es chupa kodemes l'Kiddushin. Ki hachnas z'chupa hiya shemosra b'shachus v'chasim kodem b'bracha. Mash'in v'archin asher k'vishanam t'tav v'tzivanu l'kadesh ha-yusha. Says, okay, this is Papa Olat. Bracha l'benez, wait a second. Why don't we say asher k'vishanam t'tav v'tzivanu l'kadesh ha-yusha, right? What we're about to do in a second is we're going to read the Gemara in Ksuvos, which tells us what the Berachas HaErusin is. And the Berachas HaErusin is Asher Asalanos Arusos, V'hetir Alanos Anisuos, right? V'Asher Alanos Arusos, V'hetir Alanos Anisuos, Lanu Ayideh Chupa V'Kiddushin, Berachat Hashem, V'Kadesh Yisrael, Ayideh Chupa V'Kiddushin, right? Now, that was long, that was complicated, that really left me very confused as to what on earth the status of Erusin is, right? I could have just said, right? If be mekadesh isha is a mitzvah, why don't we just say a normal bracha like any other mitzvah? So one way to answer this is to say what? Right, what did Rashi say? What would Rashi say?
Rashi Rashi would say it's just a hechsher, so you can't make a mitzvah on it itself.
Exactly, right? And his answer is, it's not, right? It's all very nice, you know, it's great, but it's not a mitzvah. So you can't make a bracha. You're not going to say, asher k'dishanu mitzvah tzivanu l'kadish isha, because hechan tzivanu, right? He's never mitzvah us to get married. You could get married. You should get married, right? If you want to do puravu, then it's, you know, it's pretty much the only you know, acceptable way to go and do that. But he was never mitzvah you to be mekadesh, right? That's not what the Mordechai says. The Mordechai says the, right? He says, oh, the inas yasag mar mitzvasa, because the kiddushin is not the end of the whole mitzvah. It's only the beginning. Ki de isu beperakatrelas. Ubishas nisuin nami ein mevarchin al nisuin. Dishema hevi bracha levatala. Dishema lo yisko lihibanos yachad. So he actually suggests, you might have thought the kiddushin is the beginning, but the nisuin is the end. And he says that's not true either. The kiddushin is the beginning of the mitzvah, and the nisuin is in the middle of the mitzvah, but the end of the mitzvah is puravu. So what he's saying is, once we linked kiddushin to puravu, kiddushin is also a mitzvah, but it's part of the mitzvah of puravu. So on the one hand, it is a mitzvah, but on the other hand, it's really an extension of the mitzvah of puravu, right? It's a stage in the mitzvah of puravu. Yes.
So then I have the same question. What's the status of kiddushin for the Mordechai, and is when you don't have puravu? Is it like un-mitzvahified, or is it a mitzvah because it was connected?
So I think he would say that it's still a mitzvah, but it's just, it's a less urgent one.
So it can still, like,
Right, meaning according to that Gemara.
It's not by virtue of being connected with Puravu, but if it doesn't result in Puravu, it still retains its own mitzvah status?
B'miktas. That's what's interesting about the Mordechai, right? Because he's saying, it's not the Gemara mitzvah, and since you might, and you can't really say, you can't make a bracha on it, because if you do and you don't end up having kids, then it's really a bracha levatala. Which is funny, because right? He really links it. It's really dependent, but yet it is part of the mitzvah. But it's not the kiyum ha-mitzvah. Right? Meaning, the kiyum ha-mitzvah is the puravu. It's part of that the mitzvah, right? It's almost like it's part of the maisa mitzvah, but the kiyum is really puravu. So if you never end up having kids, then your brechas ha-erisin and your brechas ha-nesuin would have been brachal batalas. Now, that means that it is dependent. It's never independently a mitzvah, right? It never actually is independent enough to say, oh, you made a bracha, that bracha was a good bracha, and, you know, unfortunately, if they never have children, that's sad, but that doesn't make the bracha l'mafreya into bracha l'batala. The Mordechai sees it as still entirely dependent, right? Rashi sees it as not dependent, it's just not part of it. It's a hechsher, right? It's a matir. It's a way to get to that, to be able to do that other mitzvah. But it itself is not part of it. The Mordechai sees it as part of it, but totally dependent. Yeah.
So where does this place puravu without kiddushin?
Theoretically you could be puravu without kiddushin, right? You're not supposed to.
So that means that the mitzvah of puravu is. Is there a forwards thing that like kiddushin is for the purpose of puravu, but that you know puravu itself has is best done through kiddushin, right? Is that what's being said?
It's not just like best done, but it's supposed to be done. Yeah. Right. Midyeved you'd be yotze even if not, but it is part of that mitzvah. Right, so I guess like a sort of like a parallel. You according to the Yerushalmi, you say Shachayanu when you build your sukkah before sukkahs, right? Because building and the Yerushalmi thinks that building the sukkah is part of the mitzvah. The Bavli actually might also think so, right? Now the mitzvah, the kiyum, when we say oh you're yotze, the mitzvah sukkah is when you sit in the sukkah, and you eat in the sukkah, and you live in the sukkah, and if you didn't build your own sukkah, right, you're still yotze. Right? But according to Shami, you actually make a bracha on building the sukkah and make a shechayanu when you build your sukkah, and building the sukkah is part of the mitzvah. You're still yotzei if someone else built the sukkah and you just have permission to sit in it, right? So, and it's like a little bit of a parallel, but you're saying, yeah, it's part of the mitzvah to do kiddushin. You could bypass that, right? But you mean you didn't do it properly, but you're still yotzei. Okay. Okay, I'm just going to do quickly. The lashon of the bracha in Ksavis, and then we'll continue into the minyan mitzvos for next year. Tan Rabbanan, mevarchin birchas chasanim bebeis chasanim. So Rabbi Yehuda omer, af bebeis ha'erisin, mevarchin osa, am Rabbaya ubi Yehuda shanu, mebeis ha'misyachinim. Tanya idach, no, mevarchin birchas chasanim bebeis chasanim, ubechas ha'erisin bebeis ha'erisin. Right? No, there's a bracha, there's always a bracha in beis ha'erisin. Berachas Eirusin, my mevarich. What is the bracha? So, Ravin bar Rav Ada, Rav bar Rav Ada, Travayu mishmei Rav Yehuda Amri, Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Kedeshanu Mitzvotav Vitzivanu Al Ha'arayot, Ve'asar Lanu Es Ha'arusot, Ve'hitir Lanu Atanesuot Aidei Chupa V'Gidushi. Ravach Rav Ada Mesayim bar mishmei Rav Yehuda, Baruch Ata Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Aidei Chupa V'Gidushi. Mandalochasim midi dehava aberchas apiros, vaberchas amitva, mandalochasim midi dehava akidusha. Okay. That is basically the strangest bracha I've ever heard in my life, right? You say, right? Bracha tasham lakin ma'acholam, asher kedeshanu mitzvotav vitzivanu, not like the Yerushalmi says, right? Lekadesh is isha, Rabbeinu Rabbeinu Hananel says that, quotes the Yerushalmi, he says, oh, the Yerushalmi says, you just say, Asher Kedeshanu Mitzvah Vitzivanu, L'Kadesh Yisha, right? Berachas HaMitzvah, L'Kadesh Yisha, you say, Kedeshanu Mitzvah, L'Kadesh Yisha. What do we say here? Vitzivanu al ha'arayot. Right? Your mitzvah is on arayos, the asar lanu is ha'arusos, and your oser arusos, right? You're being ma'ares, right? And we are already bothered, why do Erisin? If Erisin just makes her usher, right? They're it's like Hare at Asura alai b'tabazu, Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, right? Why do Erisin if it just makes them right more usher than they were before? And in the bracha we're saying, oh, you made a right Isuri Arayos, and you said that Arusa is usher, right? Might be Darabana, might be Daraisa. The Hitir Lanu Asar Nesu also the Chupa v'Kiddush, right? But your Matir. After Nisuin, if there was Chupa and Kiddushin. Right? And then we might end Baruch Atah Hashem Mikadish Yisrael Aideh Chupa V'Kiddushin. You who made right, B'nai Yisrael holy by giving them Chupa and Kiddushin. Right? So why one way or the other? So Mandil Lo Chasim, there's a day that says you don't actually put in this ending. Now why would we skip this ending?
Because no other birkot mitzvah has an ending like this.
Right. And there's a very simple reason, right? Is why would he, right? That's not what we're talking about now. We're not talking about, Mekadesh Yisrael Yidei Chupa V'Kiddushin, right? If we're talking about birkot mitzvah, then we're talking about a birkot mitzvah. And a birkot mitzvah, right? It says, oh, you told us to do this and we're doing it, right? We don't then say, blessed are you Hashem who made Bnei Yisrael holy by giving us this mitzvah. Right? That's just not how it works. It's also, we're not talking, right, when Berachas HaMitzvah, we say, Asher Kedeshanu Mitzvotav Vitzivanu to do X. Right? Here, we're not really talking about a to do X. The man dechasim, midi have kedusha. Right? The one who's chosim says that you're chosim just like we do by Kiddush. Right? When we're making a bracha, not on doing something, right? But because we're acknowledging the kedusha that is present. Okay? So, if it's a berachas mitzvah, the whole first half doesn't make sense. And the end doesn't make sense, right? So the answer is you can get, the man de lo chasim says, get rid of the end. But the first half still doesn't make sense, right? We didn't say, asher kedeshanu mitzvotav v'tzivanu l'kadesh ha'sheisha. We said, tzivanu al ha'arayot. The asar lanu as harusot, and then we talk about and there's chuppah and kiddushin, by the way, right? And if we have the chasima and we're talking about kiddusha, then what are we talking about, right? What's this whole kiddusha? Tzivanu al harayot, asher lanu asarusot. Right? What's going on in this bracha? Okay, so if it's a bracha hamitzvah, so then I understand at least why we have a bracha, right? Because you're doing a mitzvah. Problem is that it doesn't seem, it doesn't have a bracha as a mitzvah. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't sound like it. It doesn't taste like it, right? If it's not a bracha mitzvah and it's midi dehava akadusha, like kiddush on Shabbos, and it's not a bracha mitzvah, so why are we saying it, right? Especially if we want to say, if irisin so far, and at least according to the lashon of this bracha, is asar lanu asarusos. If it's an oser, right, it's this like legal, you know, formal precursor stage, right, which might be legally binding, but only hiter lanu asanesuos ayidei chupa v'kiddushin. So really, right, why this, the midi dahalia kiddusha, why would we be saying like some sort of like kiddush or some sort of brechas hashevach v'hoda, acknowledging the kiddusha, if it's really just this precursor stage? Okay, so I think we're going to pick up on Sunday with the Sifrei HaMitzvos and trying to really understand, you know, what is going on here? What is going on with Arison, right? Is it a mitzvah? Is it not a mitzvah? Is it just a hemshech of puravu? Is it significant in and of itself? Is this bracha, a bracha mitzvah, and then just the really, really weird bracha mitzvah? Or is it bracha midi havia kedusha, and then what are we trying to say, right? So that's what we're going to pick up with on Sunday.